This part is good about coming obstruction. Maybe this one you all pay attention. It will help you a lot. 2.1, the three coming obstacle. Be aware of the three coming obstacle, and according to Master Xuanhua, eradication is what the Heart Sutta is capable of doing. So this eradication, this word is very important. You have to root it out. Doing away with the three obstacle, the retribution obstacle, the activity obstacle, and the affliction obstacle. Because these three are karmic obstacle. So first one is retribution. Second one is activity. The third one is affliction. You have to understand the difference. So I will explain. First one is retribution obstacle. Like the word retribution. Karmic one. You have karmic retribution. Karmic obstacle. So this retribution obstacle, there are two types. Primary retribution. This one means when you are born into this world as a human being, let's say. Give me a minute.
Hello? Wow. Hey, like our meditation.
So this primary retribution implies karmically conditioned physical body, like the type of DNA coding, then your physical appearances, etc. Like what type of genes you're supposed to have. So these are primary retribution. Means that one is already fixed for you. Whether you are born okay or defect or whatever. Then sometimes whether you have good DNA or that karmic DNA like cancer DNA or something, it's all coded because of your primary retribution. This is karmic retribution from your karmic. It is already there. That's why you cannot complain. How come people born so smart? So good DNA and all those things. How come certain people, they are born with so much sickness, disease, problem, defect, and all those things. You can see them in this world. So primary retribution is very powerful. It relates to the physical aspect, the DNA, and how you look, whether you are handsome or less handsome or whatever, or beautiful or all those things. It has a lot to do with karma. So you want to have the four conditions. Ayu wana sukang palang. You pay respect to the worthy one, the elders. Respect the elders and all things. That four things will grow. Ayu wana sukang palang. So ayu is long life. Wana is fair complexion. Sukang is joy, happiness. Palang is strength, physical and spiritual strength. So these four things will grow. You know how to pay respect. Respect the elders, the worthy one, and all those things. Then, whatever primary retribution will take those things into consideration. But if you don't have those, then your primary retribution, when it comes, it will be your major coming thing. If you cause a lot of killing, a lot of suffering and misery, then chances is your DNA will be coded with all the traumatic diseases like cancer and all those things. And sometimes you may have to go through stroke or even like COVID-19, difficulty in breathing and all those things. It's because of karma. When you do chemical warfare and all those things, and you cause suffering to living beings and misery to living beings. So all this, living beings, sorry, not only living beings, human beings. Living beings. So all this is primary retribution. Then dependent retribution implies karmically conditioned living condition or your materialistic inheritance. That is whether you are born into a poor family or a rich family and where you will be born into. You don't have a choice. It is a dependent retribution. But who you marry to, you do have a choice. But sometimes in the olden days, their marriage is arranged by the parents. Maybe that time you may not have much choice. But nowadays different. Nowadays society has become different. So don't complain. Don't everything also blame karma. Primary retribution, yes. Dependent retribution, don't go and say, I siu kiam che, I owe him coming that one. That's why I have to marry her. Not necessary. You can avoid the condition with wisdom. You don't have to. You know how to ask for forgiveness. You know that in the past you have been doing all this nonsense. Then ask for forgiveness. Resolve it amicably so that it will not carry on. Understand or not? So always remember who you marry to, you do have a choice. Don't allow karmic conditioning to actually land you into all the karmic debt. Then don't blame anybody for it. So retribution obstacle is easy to understand. You have primary and retribution. Primary retribution and dependent retribution. Both are karmic debt retribution. One is primary, one is dependent. Then the second one is activity obstacle. Imply karmically conditioned livelihood obstacle. So this one I think is easy to understand. Livelihood obstacle is like you have a lot of karmic obstruction while working somewhere or while living your life. Yes, all these are activity obstacle. Last time when you become the boss or the colleague, you do a lot of funny things. Understand? No? And when you stay with people in the same house or your tenant and other things, or your roommate or housemate, you create a lot of problems. So this activity obstacle will condition the condition for you to land yourself back into all those working place where you have bosses that treat you the same as how you treat other people. If you are the unreasonable type, the one that is very selfish, moody, emotional, management by fear and harassment, you mistreat your staff, you don't take care of your staff, you do not have the dhamma to actually enable you to understand life. So you do what you like because of your authority. So you cause a lot of unnecessary suffering, misery to your subordinate, to your staff, to your colleague and all those things, or to your housemate, roommate, or people you live with. Sometimes it can be your town, your hometown, your kampong, or your neighbor and all those things. So all this involves your activity in life. So if you don't have that karmic obstacle, then when you come, this activity obstacle will not be there. And your life will be very smooth. Everywhere you go, like this life, my nature has this very beautiful, I don't have activity obstacle. Everywhere I go, my company I work with, they benefited so much and I don't have problem. Everywhere I go, like very blessed. And like everything is meant to be, even my neighbors or they don't have issue or problem. They were very kind and very understanding. So I don't have such problem. So if you check your life and you don't have all this, means you have taken care of your life very well. Then even the retribution obstacle, both primary and dependent, both also very good for me. Then the last one is affliction obstacle. This one, you cannot blame anybody. Affliction means you're suffering. If you come this line, you have a lot of suffering. So this implies karmically conditioned affliction caused by your heedlessness in life. The reason why this line, you also continue to be heedless and live that type of miserable life, is because the karmic affliction obstacle is so severe. You have caused so much karmic obstruction, karmic obstacle and suffering and misery. That's why this affliction obstacle, you keep on confronting them through heedlessness. You are not able to be heedful. You have a lot of wrong view. You do a lot of wrong thing. So I explain here, that is, whenever you act, speak, and think with an evil mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then affliction or suffering will follow you, like the wheel that follow the roof of the heart. The Dhammapada verse 1 will take its course. If you want to be happy, then be heedful to train your mind to act, speak, and think with a wholesome mind that has that is without the evil roots. Then happiness will follow you like the shadow that never leaves you. So this is Dhammapada verse 2. So you know how to avoid Dhammapada verse 1 and develop the heedfulness to cultivate Dhammapada verse 2, then you will avoid all this affliction obstacle. Otherwise, this affliction obstacle keep on arising. That's why when you arise as a living being or a human being, you will have this affliction obstacle. If you realize that your life has a lot of affliction or suffering, it means one very clear thing. You have a lot of karmic obstacle, especially affliction obstacle. You must have done a lot of this heedless thing that condition your present life to be what it is. That's why the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. You cannot blame anybody for what it happened. That's why the Bodhisattva vow is very important. You come with all this understanding that I have taught you in the Bodhisattva vow, then you will not have all this karmic problem. Because you already under that yellow sheet, the vow, I have taught you all the right view, right understanding, and how to ask for forgiveness to break all this karmic obstruction and all this thing. Then also how to develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma, all the important right views, life after life, whenever you arise. So this is something that hopefully can help you. Then I will continue giving on. Don't blame anybody for your affliction, for according to the Buddha, I stated it here again. We are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So do strive on with heedfulness to take care of your karma so that your life is taken care of because you reap what you sow. Do good begets goodness. Have goodness and kindness for you. So this is all understanding karma. Right? So do not be heedless. Having goodness and kindness, you will reap what you sow. What you do to others, karmically it will come back to you. So if you are good to others, good and kind to others, karmically others will be good and kind to you. Because these are your karmic inheritance. The absence of evil is good. So don't try to be good. But instead, just train your mind to be heedful and mindful so that it is incapable of evil. Then naturally you will be good. Those who have cultivated the Noble Eightfold Path have no evil, but only wisdom and virtue. So Noble Eightfold Path is the real meditation, cultivation. It will protect you, all-round protection for you. You not only avoid all evil, you do good, and you meditate, you follow the advice of the Buddha. So these are the beautiful understanding. Then 3.1, part 3, the three turnings of the Four Noble Truth. Because there are four truths, three turnings, three times four, there are 12 modes. So these three turnings of the Four Noble Truth correspond to the three types of prajna or wisdom. So Mahayana, as explained by Master Xuan Hua, also have these three types of wisdom. But they use different words to express it, but the meaning is the same. The three types of wisdom or prajna, as explained by Master Xuan Hua, are similar to those of the three turnings of the Four Noble Truth. Wisdom, as explained by the Buddha, under his Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, or his first sermon. And they are first turning wisdom, the proclamation of truth of the Dhamma, essential Dhamma as spoken by the Buddha, leading to Suttamaya Panya or wisdom born of hearing the Sutta or the discourse of the Buddha. Master Shenhua called it the Prajna of language. See? Through hearing, Prajna of language. So it's the same. No? The second turning is reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha, leading to Chintamaya Panya, wisdom born of constant contemplation, inquiry, and reflection on the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. Master Shenhua called it the Prajna of contemplative illumination. So it's the same. Contemplative illumination means you contemplate and awaken, illuminate. Third turning, the meditative training leading to Bhavana Maya Panya, wisdom born of the meditative training as taught by the Buddha. Master Shenhua called it the Prajna characteristic of actuality or ultimate wisdom. So it's the same. Huh?